Well, there are 1,000 questions you and I live throughout our lifetimes, and we ask ourselves. Some of those questions are very significant, we think. As you grow up, you ask this question, you know, who am I going to marry in life? Where am I going to live? What type of job, what type of vocation am I going to get into in life? When you get a little bit older, you ask a question, what age should I retire? Some of you may be asking that question or have asked that question recently. Where am I going to live in my senior years? Will I need to go to a nursing home? You know, there's 1,001 questions that we ask ourselves all throughout life. But as significant as those questions are and may be, they all pale in comparison to one question every one of us must answer in our life. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 27, verses 15 through 24, there is one question in the midst of this drama that plays out. Pilate is before the people, and Jesus is being presented, and Barabbas and the question is raised in the midst of the confrontation. Pilate raises a question. What shall I do with Jesus, who is called the Christ? If you'll take your Bible and turn to Matthew chapter 27, beginning at verse 15, let's just look at the backdrop of what is happening. Now, at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called the Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas, and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate said unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called the Christ? They all say unto him, let him be crucified. And the governor said, why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water, washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Just past Tuesday night, seemed like every hour that I woke up Tuesday morning, this statement was going through my mind. What will you do with Jesus, who is called the Christ? I know probably of waking up at least 3 times, and every time this one statement was on my mind. And I know that as the Lord placed this statement on my mind, that it's a question that the Father is asking of every one of us this morning. Because the truth about it is, every person in the world will answer this question one way or the other. You know, there's a lot of people that think that, well, you know, I'm not going to really have to answer that question. And they go through life and they pretend as though they don't really have to answer that question. But there's only one problem with that. Every one of us have been created by the Lord God. Every one of us have life by the Lord God. And somewhere across our lives, He crosses our path and we will have to answer this question, what will you do with Jesus who is called the Christ? And as I began thinking about this message this morning, I just think, you know, really and truly, this question has already been asked by millions and millions and millions of individuals who are now in their eternity. Let me invite you to follow along in your outline because it's imperative you and I understand this question. You see, it's the single greatest question that you and I can ever answer in our life. And in a very real truth, it's already been answered by the masses that have already walked on the face of the earth. There are so many individuals that you and I know that are our family, friends, neighbors, relatives, and ancestors years gone by that have already walked off the scenes of time. They've already walked into their eternity, whatever their eternity is. And for those individuals, there's no need to pray for them. There's no need to talk to the Father on behalf of them because their life has already been lived out and they have already made a decision what they would do with Jesus, who is called the Christ. You know, you think about those that are in paradise this morning. You know, if you and I had the privilege and God would unfold the skies and give these eyes the capability to peer into His heaven and His paradise, we couldn't even grasp what we would be beholding. You know, you and I would see the precious disciples of God. We'd see Lazarus, that poor man who died, and the Bible says the angel carried him into the bosom of Abraham. You and I would know of many, see many of our friends and family that placed their faith in Jesus Christ who answered the question right. You see, there are already many in paradise that have already answered this question, and they've answered it right. That's why they're in paradise. That's why they're in heaven. I think about young people this past week, young people who got killed on the roads. Because you see, according to statistics, 6 to 8 teenagers get killed on the roads every day of the world. But for those who answer the question right, the Bible says today they're in paradise. You know, so many individuals you and I stop and think about. You know, think about that poor person who's never had a single thing in life, just barely squeaked by and barely made ends meet. He may not have had a lot of things, but he or she knew what it was to have Jesus Christ in their life. They answered this question correctly. If you and I could see the grandeur of glory and could be allowed to see what God has for those who are already in paradise, they have answered the question right. You've got family. I've got a precious mother. Many of you have mothers and fathers that are already in paradise because they answered this question properly. Because the Bible says, unless a man be born again, he can't see the kingdom of God. You know, you stop and think, and every one of us think of friends and family, neighbors and relatives that have left this world. But it's not bad when you know they've answered the question right. You know, you stop and think about those that are in paradise. You know, you think about that precious young lady who died yesterday in a car wreck somewhere in the state of Kentucky or some other adjacent state who placed her faith in Jesus Christ. You realize 20 children die every minute in the world? Do you realize, as I just shared, 8 teenagers die between 16 and 19 every day on the roadways in the United States? But that precious person who's invited Jesus Christ into their life, they're with the Lord in heaven. You know, you and I could see what was going on. They've answered it right. But I also have to say this as well. If you and I could be allowed to see, and if somehow the earth would open up, and we could see into the deepest abyss of torment and hell, we would find a number of individuals that have answered it wrong. You know, consider one of Jesus' closest disciples. He was probably been a good church member in his day and time. You think of Judas Iscariot. He was one of Jesus' 12 disciples. But Jesus said of Judas Iscariot, "It had been better that you had never been born." Can you imagine the statement over your life? It'd been better that you had never been born. Some of you may be here this morning. You don't have Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Do you realize if you die without Jesus, it would have been better had you never been born? That's what God says. That's what Scripture says. Think about, those who've been rich, and think about those, you know, all throughout Scripture. You know, consider the rich man who came to Jesus, and he said, "What must I do to have eternal life?" Jesus was honest with him. The man was really honest with Jesus. He said, "What do I need to do?" He had his question wrong. It's not something you do to have eternal life. But Jesus finally said, "Go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you'll have eternal life." But the Bible says that he turned away and walked away sadly. Today, there is no evidence in Scripture that he turned around and came back to God or came back to Christ. And today, the Bible records that if he died that way, he's in the halls of torment. He's in the halls of hell. You see, we don't really want to think about a place called hell, but the Bible says it's as real, as accurate. It's a place that every person goes to who rejects the sinless Son of God. The Bible says it never was prepared for one single human being. The Bible says it was prepared for the devil and his angels. But if you could walk the halls of hell, you'd be amazed how many stars are in hell this morning. How many are in heaven, but also how many are in hell? Probably one of the most famous actresses that ever graced the silver screen, Marilyn Monroe. A week before she died, she was talked to and witnessed to by Billy Graham. And she simply said these words, "I don't need your Jesus. I don't need your Jesus." And a week later, she was found dead of an overdose. The truth about it is, if you and I could peer into the depths of hell, you would find that lovely actress who graced the screen and many more who did not need Jesus, but who are in the halls of hell. The Bible says many have already gone. There's millions for whom there is no need to pray. Some of your friends and family that have died and rejected Jesus Christ, there is no need to pray for them. There is no sense in it. They've sealed their eternity. It's appointed unto man once to die, the Bible says. You know, you and I think about eternity. It's the single greatest question because it's already been answered by so many, but it's the single greatest question, and it will be answered by people of every socioeconomic background. You and I look around, and, you know, I think about some of the greatest men that have ever walked the face of the earth that have been tremendous leaders of the United States of America. And we go back to George Washington. He answered the question, what will you do with Jesus, who is called the Christ? Abraham Lincoln, Herbert Hoover, Woodrow Wilson, every president we've ever had and ever will have will answer that question. What will you do with Jesus who is called the Christ? Every church member will answer it. You see, the truth about it is, every one of us, somewhere across our life, God brings someone to us and we really make a decision if we will accept Jesus or we'll reject him. You know, the Bible makes it very clear. You think of the rich, you think of the poor, you think of those who do have and don't have. And you really think, you know, the rich and the poor, a person may appear to be so busy. There are some people who look so busy they don't have time to do anything. But the Bible says you will answer the question. Pilate standing in the very midst of the crowd and Barabbas, Jesus, what shall I do with Jesus? Can't you imagine what he thinks now? Can't you imagine what he thinks in his mind now? I realize what I did with Jesus. You see, Jesus is so gracious, he'll never make anybody accept him. He will never force himself onto your life. But here's what I've found over the period of years. God will bring somebody into your life who loves you and loves Jesus Christ, and they may ask you this question. What will you do with Jesus who is called the Christ? And you know, you think about the rich people, you think about poor, and you think about every person, every actor, every actress that appears to be so alive but is dead. You look at them on TV, they look alive. John Wayne, they look alive. Lucille Ball, they look very much alive, but they answered the question one way or other while they were alive, while they were living. You see, there is no way you can get out of this question. I can remember as a little boy, my dad preaching, and I remember that time in my life when I was lost. I knew where I was going to go. And that's maybe where you are tonight, this morning. You know that you're lost. You know that you don't have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And you see, it's the single greatest question because of this. It determines your peace. Now, some of you are here this morning, and there's absolutely no peace in your life whatsoever. You're doing everything in life to try to get and have some peace. You look at people all around you, and you know people, you know friends, you have family, and there's all sorts of ways to try to have peace. People are trying to have peace through alcohol. People are trying to have peace through sex, through drugs, through trips, through recreation, through all sorts of things. But the Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you realize you cannot have peace with the God of the universe apart from Jesus Christ? Jesus said, nobody comes to the Father but by me. The God who created everything that is wants you to have peace with him. Not just, he don't want to give you a religion. Listen, religion is, atheism is religion. It's a system of believing something. God created you and me for a relationship. Now think about this a minute. Hell is not a comfortable subject. It's not an easy subject. But the Bible says it's a real subject. Amen? The Bible says it's a real place. Amen? Now think about this. Since it is a real place, since God loves you, don't you think that the God who loves you and cares for you will do everything in his holy power to protect you from going there? And he wants you to have his abundant, abiding, overflowing peace. And when you look at men and women all across the land, you know, there's a world of misery. You may be in misery this morning. You're in misery because you don't have the peace of God. Oh, you're a church member, or you do a few things here and there, but there is nothing like the peace of God. I appreciated so much the testimony of Brother Don this morning in Sunday school. What the peace of God does, it changes your life. It changes everything about you. Listen, when you think about this one question, you know, you may be tormented in your soul. You think, well, you just don't understand all the things that I've done in my life and everything that's going on in my life and all the things that I've done wickedly and before a holy God. There is nothing you've done that is beyond the loving forgiveness of Almighty God. Think about this for a minute. There is nothing you can conceivably think of possibly doing that is beyond the forgiveness of God. Isn't that awesome? But the sobering and saddening truth is, how many people will die rejecting Jesus Christ and decide they don't want to have anything to do, and they'll never have an ounce of peace on this side of life? Your money will not get you peace. And somehow we have, the devil deludes our thinking and deludes the way we live and deceives us. Well, all I need to do is learn how to handle life better. Listen, you need to understand there is a real devil, and he's doing everything he can to seek and devour anybody, and he wants nothing better than your soul. The Bible says, what does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? Do you really think that God Almighty is going to create you, let you live this life, and you're going to get off without answering the question about Jesus? You've been created by God the Father. There's one way to him, and that's through Jesus. Jesus said, no one comes to the Father but by me. And when you think about that, you think, why are you so restless? Sir, there's a real reason why you're restless this morning. It simply may very well be that you've rejected Jesus Christ. And you know why you're restless? Because here's what God knows. He knows that if you die the way you are, you'll open your eyes in torment. You'll open your eyes in hell. I'll never forget. Before I was saved, it just kept going in my mind. You know, if you die the way you are, you're going to hell. Now, that's a heavy load for an 8-year-old boy. But you know what God was telling me? Now, I want you to listen. We live in such a politically friendly world, don't we? Don't we? Do you believe Almighty, loving, holy God will tell you the absolute, unvarnished truth because he loves you? Yes. He'll tell you the absolute unvarnished truth. Listen, he's never out to hurt you. But I've had surgery, and many of you have had surgery too, and you know I've never had a surgeon that says, you know what, this might sting a little bit. They're honest with you. They say, you know what, you're going to be open and you're going to be sore, and that doesn't even begin to, you know, give a declaration of what they're going to do. Why? Because they know that there's some things that they need to do to make you better. Listen, think about this. Would you rather me tell you the truth, or would you rather wake up in hell and find out for yourself? And it's amazing how many people don't want to hear it. It's amazing how many people don't want to hear about hell. You'd think it very foolish if I was standing on the side of a road and I saw the road out ahead and I knew it was out and you was going down that road 70 miles an hour and I just waved and said, hi. You're going to die. There's a potential possibility that you may even die before this year is out. You wouldn't want to know the statistics, would you? You see, there's something about ourselves that we forget. We forget how very fragile life is. We forget how very short. The Bible says, number your days, for no one knows what a day holds. I never will forget a preacher friend sharing with me some years ago. He said a couple of men were coming to take up the offering, and as he was getting ready to pray the prayer over the offering, one of the men just dropped dead. No one knows what a day holds. You see, it's the greatest question not only for those that have already walked out of this life, but it's the greatest question for those of you and me who are believers. If you're a child of God, there's one question the Father asks of you, and it's simply this: what are you doing with Jesus, who is called the Christ? If you look in the New Testament, it's very interesting, especially in one precious man's life by the name of Andrew. He is a very special man because he was always bringing people to Jesus. Andrew brought his brother Peter to Jesus. Andrew was the one who found the little boy with loaves and fishes, and there was a massive amount to feed, and he brought that little boy and those loaves and fishes to Jesus. Now listen to me very carefully, every one of us who named the name of Jesus. Do you ever bring anybody you know across Jesus? Husbands, let me ask you this. God forbid it happen, but if your lost spouse died today, or wives, if your lost husband died today, would he be able to bear witness that you have told him about Jesus, who is the Christ? That person you work with, you've worked with them week in and week out, month in, month out, and all of a sudden one morning they don't make it and something happens to them. Would the Father be able to bear witness to you that you have somewhere across the path of time made it your business to tell them about Jesus? You see, we think we want those who are lost to come to faith in Jesus Christ, but have you ever said it to those around your life? Is there somebody in hell today that they would bear witness before a holy God? I knew you, I worked around you, but you never said a thing about Jesus to me. Now, don't misunderstand. They're not in hell because of you. They rejected Jesus. They deliberately rejected him. But here's one thing that you will give account. You'll give account of knowing them and never telling them about Jesus. Does hell find somebody there? You say, well, I just don't want to be pushy. Are you sure about that? You see, yes, you say, well, you know, you just don't want to hurt people's feelings. You trust the Holy Spirit. He'll direct you to do it. And, you know, it'll happen in the least likely ways. And you won't, you know, you'll maybe not even intend or think about it, but the Holy Spirit will bear witness with your spirit. Dads, would the Father bear witness that you've got a son or daughter that's walked out into eternity and you never told them a thing about Jesus? Grandmother, grandfather, have you had a son or daughter, granddaughter, and they're out of this life now? You can come to church all you want, but holy God bears witness you never said a word to them. Is it scary? Now, I want to be honest with you as a pastor. Yes, sometimes you do get scared. But you know why? You're not scared because of you. You don't know the right words. Let me tell you why you're scared. The devil don't want you to open your mouth because he knows somebody could be released from the domain of darkness. The Father gave me the most wonderful privilege this past week. I'll call him Tom. That's not his name, but he's in a bed in a hospital. And he said, I've lost a leg since you came in and saw me last time. Just broke my heart because he's a very young man. Had a prayer with him. And as I was praying, the Spirit of God, I knew I couldn't leave there without asking him. I said, Tom, are you saved? He said, nope. I said, where would you go if you died? Down there. And I want him to be clear. I said, Tom, down where? He said, hell. I said, do you want to go? He said, no. I said, Tom, would you be willing? And, of course, he sort of back, but would you be willing to pray the sinner's prayer? Don't know. Well, anyway, to make a long story short, it wasn't me. It was the father that was at work in his life. But he prayed a simple prayer. He bowed his head and he said, Lord Jesus, I admit I'm a sinner. I know if I died right now, I'd go to hell. I invite you into my life to be my Lord and Savior. And he said, amen. And I looked up at him. His teeth are a little bit parted. He had the biggest smile on his face. I said, now, Tom, God forbid it happened, but if you walked out of this world today, where are you going? He said, I'm going to heaven. Now, listen to me very carefully. I would give accountability before a holy God if I hadn't shared that. And you see, the very reality is you and I don't have a single idea what may happen in a person's life in one day's time. You just don't know. And you see, it's a wise person. You say, Father, I pray for my son. Give me an open door, my daughter. You don't want to see them die lost. But here's the reality. They need somebody to tell them. You see, what you do with Jesus, I think Tom's now my brother, is the single greatest question. And you know why? Because it determines your eternal residence. You know, if you die today, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You're going to live eternally in one of two locations. In your passage of Scripture that we shared, that we read together, Jesus said, what does it profit? Now listen, that's Jesus the Christ. What does it profit you, Benny, if you gain the whole world and you lose your own soul? Do you realize what he says? Benny, if I gave you all the monies of the world and laid them in your bank account, it doesn't really profit you because you spend very little time on this side of eternity. Listen, some of us, we've got 5 years left, 10 years. What you do with Jesus will determine your eternity. Now, listen to me very carefully. What you do with Jesus don't determine Jesus one iota. It don't determine heaven, but it does determine if you are in heaven or not in heaven. The Bible makes it very clear. You know, and the soul that sins against God shall die. You see, sometimes we say, well, you know, I think I need to go to heaven. I think I'm good enough to go to heaven. Well, let me ask you a question. Somebody comes to my house this afternoon and they decide they want to break in one of my windows and they want to enter that way. Or somebody decides, well, you know what, I'm going to get in Benny's house and I'm going to just go through his window in his bedroom and just bust it out. You would be very offended if somebody came into your house other than by the door. You'd be very bothered. Jesus said, no man comes to the Father but by me. There's no entrance into heaven but through Jesus Christ. And what you and I do with Jesus will determine our eternal residence. Think about it. Now, you can decide where you're going to live in this life and on this earth. But what you do with Jesus will determine where you are 10 million years from now. You say, surely I believe in a loving God and I believe He'll take me to heaven. You can believe that all you want to. It's not the Word of God. The wages of sin is death. See, the Bible makes it very clear. You know, the single question, what you and I do with Jesus? It'll affect you 1,000 years from now. 1,000 years from now, I know where I'll be. Where will you be? God will never make you be saved. If you want to reject Jesus, you can. If you want to turn away from Him, that's your prerogative. If you want not to call on Him and ever be saved, that is your choice. But you must be willing to live with the eternal consequences the longest day of your eternity, because you will. Judas has been in hell for 2,000 years, close to it. And he's not a bit more getting out of hell than he was 2,000 years ago. If you and I could look in hell this morning, we'd see teenagers that had rejected Jesus Christ this past week, this past year. They didn't need God. They didn't need the church. They didn't need the gospel. And they rejected God, and they've died apart from Christ. You say, that's horrible. Surely God wouldn't do that. You don't know how many Christian friends God brought by their life. You don't know how many people God brought by them and gave them an opportunity, and they just turned a deaf ear. And now they're dead. And you see, if you look back and over the annals of time, if you and I could look back and there was a video 100 years ago, one thing about it, all those people are gone now. And so will we. You see, every person in hell, when it comes to what will you do with Jesus, they've simply said, I reject him. Now, you may not say that out loud. You don't have to say, I reject you, Jesus. All you've got to do is just never pray the sinner's prayer, and that's rejecting Jesus. All you've got to do is just listen to a message time and time and time and time and time again and not respond to the gospel, and that's rejecting Jesus. And then someday, you'll breathe your last breath, you'll walk out of this life, and you'll enter your eternity forever. No preacher will preach to you then. No preacher's preaching to any of the souls in hell today. Nobody's appealing to their soul to be saved because there's no hope. Imagine hanging over your life this phrase, no hope. No hope. You'll be there for many, many more years. There's a lot of church members that are in paradise, but there's also a lot of church members that are in torment. They were on the rolls, but they never were redeemed. I want to ask you this question. What will you do with Jesus, who is called the Christ? What have you been doing with Jesus, who is called the Christ? Is there hope? Yes, there is. There's hope for you right now. God never plays at pretend or make-believe. God is a serious God. But if you're willing to admit to a holy God you're a sinner, He'll save you today. If you're a child of God, you remember that day and time you got on your knees and prayed that simple prayer, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Why has the Father so impressed this message upon His servant this Sunday? Because He knew you was going to be here, sir. He knew you was going to be here, ma'am. And you don't know what life holds for you next. This may very well be the last opportunity that God really works with your life. You say, well, as long as there's life, there's hope. I can't help but think of Lawrence when I hear that statement. A friend that I witnessed to some years ago was in the mid-70s, and I said, Lawrence, where are you going to go when you die? And here's all he said to me. He said, preacher, I guess I'll just go to hell. And that's all he said. Wasn't a bit more interested in hearing the gospel and getting saved. A servant of God has one responsibility, to preach the truth. Amen? You decide what you do with it, and I do as well. With every head bowed, every eye closed. Friend, you're here this morning, and you know that you have rejected Jesus. You know you've rejected the sinless Son of God. And you have opportunity right now to come to Christ. With every head bowed, there's no music playing, and in the quietness of this moment, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but the Spirit of God is dealing with you. If you would like to be saved, you can be saved right where you're sitting. You say, Pastor, how can I be saved right where I'm sitting? By praying a simple sinner's prayer. And I want to lead you in that prayer. And if you can pray this and mean it with all your heart, you'll be saved. Your eternal location will be different after you pray this prayer. Could it very well be this might be the last opportunity you get? Would you be willing to pray this simple prayer? Lord Jesus, I know I'm lost. I know that if I died right this minute, I would go to hell. I know I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, I invite you to come into my heart and save my soul. Right this second, I ask you that, and I thank you in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, you know the heart of every soul in this place. Father, the reality is we will all die someday. We may have had money, we may have had possessions, we may have had jobs, careers, and a thousand things may have gone through our lives. But Father, only those who respond right to Jesus have eternal life. Father, I pray for that man, that woman that's just prayed this simple prayer, that young person, that older person. Holy Spirit of God, would you just draw them to yourself this morning? Father, you remind us in your word, it's a horrible thing to fall into the hands of a holy, living God, unredeemed. Oh, Father, you don't want a single soul to miss heaven. You don't want a single soul in this place to miss an eternity of joy and wonder and excitement and just to be in your presence. Father, I just ask your Holy Spirit to walk the pews, to walk throughout this sanctuary, moving and drawing souls to yourself during this invitation. And Father, that person who thinks they've got plenty of time, oh, just so convicted of sin, judgment, and righteousness, is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray.